Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So the president will be meeting again with top lawmakers, trying to hash out some kind of deal over the debt ceiling, although it looks as though his efforts are possibly making things worse, or at least things are getting worse. We're not sure who to blame over that. Lawmakers will return to the White House this afternoon. They'll spend 90 minutes. The 90-minute session yesterday, anyway, produced no progress. Joining us now is our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. You know, Todd, when we last spoke about Capitol Hill capers in our last episode, talks had broken down over the weekend, and the president wanted to hash them out in an afternoon session on Monday. It appears that there's still, the gulf is just too wide. I mean, honestly, nobody for a long time has thought they were going to allow the United States to default, but that's becoming a little more likely.
No, I don't think so, Celeste. I don't think that that's correct. I think it's no joke, first of all. I think that the gulf is very wide between the parties, between the president, his own party, and Republicans on the Hill right now. However, there is no sense from any of the parties that the debt limit will not be raised, because nobody wants to find out what happens if you get beyond August 2nd and you haven't done it. Nobody knows what would happen. Nobody really wants to steer into that realm. The president had a news conference yesterday. We were at the White House for it, where he was decidedly the moderate, trying to explain to the country, really, and to some people on the Hill, that, look, there's a lot of hard choices to be made. I am willing to put things on the table that are going to make a lot of people in my own party mad, touching Social Security. The president, according to people who are familiar with the talks that I've spoken to, has offered even to raise the Medicare eligibility age, which is something that's worth billions, potentially hundreds of billions of dollars over 10 years. But here's the problem. It can't be done. There's no way to finance it. There's not enough money in the system unless the other side is willing to talk about raising taxes, raising revenue somewhere. Go back on the Hill after the president's news conference yesterday, and Republicans were absolutely adamant. Their position has not changed. There will be no tax increases in this deal unless they're offset with tax decreases elsewhere. Republicans will raise taxes. They just have to be fully paid for by a cut somewhere else. You see what I mean? The bottom line has to be set. Their position hardened. Both Eric Cantor and John Boehner have their positions that are hardened on that, and it makes the path to a potential $4 trillion deal seem impossible. On that medium deal, $2.3 trillion, what happened yesterday in the meeting is Eric Cantor, who's the one leading the charge for that deal now, the one that he kind of walked out on when he was talking to Joe Biden about it, is now trying to convince the others in the room, including the president, that there is a path to $2.3 trillion in cuts with no increases in revenue, i.e. no increase in taxes on corporations or individuals or loopholes or anyone else. The president's not buying it, thinks it only gets you to about $1.5 trillion, and that's where the gulf is. Not even a path right now to 2.3 or 2.4 trillion, but that's where they have to get in the next week or so.
Well, we'll obviously have to check in with you again tomorrow, Todd, after they have their afternoon meeting today. Hopefully there will be some progress made. That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Sure thing.
Well, Louise, you heard Todd saying that nobody wants to think about what may happen if we hit that debt ceiling, and nobody knows. Okay, so we never have hit it without extending the debt ceiling, but we kind of have a good idea of what might happen, right?
It's hard to know precisely, but, you know, I can tell you what happens in general, you know, if a corporation, for instance, doesn't pay off its debts, and what happens, or when other countries haven't paid off their debts, what happens is if they miss a payment, they get downgraded. The ratings agencies, you know, would take the U.S. AAA rating and dramatically drop it. And that may sound like it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, the rating agencies, you know, who cares about them? But the reason it matters is they drive our borrowing cost. It's kind of like if you miss a credit card payment, that credit card company is going to jack up the interest rate they charge you. If the U.S. misses a payment on its debt, it's likely that the interest that we have to pay on our debt as taxpayers, you know, for this country would go up, that investors around the world would want a lot more interest costs.
So, in fact, it's like these adjustable rate mortgages that, and sometimes it goes up so much that people can't afford the payments anymore. What would really happen is that it would actually add money to our debt and our deficit.
Well, that's right, because we'd be paying billions and billions more per year
in
just in the interest.
Yeah.
And that'd be money that couldn't go to education and couldn't go to healthcare and couldn't go to other things.
Well, you know, the international community has stayed relatively silent until recently. We had the new IMF chief, Christine Lagarde, yesterday say a failure in the debt ceiling talks would end up having global impacts. Is that realistic that the default on the part of the U.S. would mean something in France or in Germany opposed to just costing us more?
Well, you know, she's speaking from the perspective of being in Europe right now, where it is very scary, the reaction we're seeing to Greece as well as Italy. You know, there's a lot of panic in the market right now that Italy is in bigger trouble than we thought it might default. And when you think of, you know, the size of the economy of Greece and the impact it seems to be having in the markets, well, that's like, you know, Rhode Island in the U.S. So it's tiny. So what she's referring to is the idea that the United States economy is so big and so huge, it outshadows Greece by far, and it could have a big impact. Now, that said, you have got some people out there, some people on Wall Street even, who are saying this is overblown fear. And for instance, there's one person, Stan Druckenmiller. He used to manage money for George Soros.
Yeah.
That's his claim to fame. So he knows a lot about, you know, sovereign debt. Remember, he helped Soros bring down the British pound in the early 1990s.
Right.
So he has said publicly that the debt limit should not be raised and that instead we should do enough cuts that we don't need to raise it. And what this line of argument says, okay, you raise the debt limit, but where does it get us? Because they're talking about raising it maybe through the 2012 elections. So won't we be back sitting here having the same conversation in 2013 if there aren't bigger cuts? So those people are really saying, don't just look for a patchwork, Band-Aid solution. 2012 will be here before you know it, and the cuts should be even bigger so that we can go on with our budget without needing to raise this debt limit.
Do you think that politicians on Capitol Hill are the best economists to be dealing with? I mean, we had China coming forward with advice for the U.S. There's people from all over the globe now trying to give advice to the U.S. It seems like they're just trapped in political rhetoric. They're not economists.
Well, and the big unknown, not even professional economists really know, is what will happen to the economy if more of the government spending is pulled? Because we're in a very weak economy. A lot of people are talking about a possible double dip. And so if we were in a booming economy, these discussions would be probably much easier because you wouldn't feel like you needed the government spending as much. And what the uncertainty is, what will this do to the very struggling U.S. economy?
And the struggling U.S. people that are now unemployed. That's
right.
One of the big
worries. Need assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. Louise Story, a Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. The debt ceiling talks continue today. Lawmakers have said they will meet every day until the debt ceiling agreement is reached. That seems like a small sacrifice to be made, but they'll meet and keep meeting. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
It's a quarter past the hour. Let's take a look at some other headlines we're following. Breaking news, the half-brother of President Hamid Karzai has been assassinated in Afghanistan this morning. Ahmed Wali Karzai was reportedly shot by his own bodyguard in Kandahar. The Taliban has claimed responsibility. Just in the past hour, the Afghan president spoke about his half-brother's death.
As you know today, this morning, my younger brother, Ahmed Wali Karzai, was martyred at his home. This is the way of life for the people of Afghanistan. The homes of all Afghans feel this pain.
The younger Karzai was allegedly involved in drug trafficking and was said to be on the CIA payroll. Speaking to the BBC's Lise Doucette recently, he complained about the constant attempts on his life.
There was two major suicide attacks on me, on my office.
Are there still threats against you now?
Every day.
It's Taliban or
of course.
Criminals?
Taliban.
The ministry says the killing is being investigated. The Obama administration has unveiled new health insurance standards designed to let individuals, families, and small businesses compare prices and benefits when shopping for insurance. It's a key part of the health care overhaul. It creates a new insurance exchange that pools insurance risks and premiums to give the ordinary consumer the same purchasing power as a large company. And House Republicans are expected to vote on overturning parts of a 2007 Energy Act that requires the adoption of more energy-efficient light bulbs today. Under the current law, inefficient 100-watt bulbs would no longer be available at most stores by January of next year. You're listening to The Takeaway. You can respond to anything that you hear at 8778-MY-TAKE. Coming up, politics and sports kind of collide in Arizona with the Major League Baseball's All-Star Game taking place. at the place that is also ground zero for the immigration debate.